Good morning. Today, my podcast is about understanding the deep science of Patanjali Yoga Sutras. Sage Patanjali has been my teacher. Whatever little I have written in the last 20 years on spirituality or thought about the interaction of mind and matter and higher things have been inspired by Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. And I have always felt that his spirit has guided me in this journey. To me, Patanjali was a true scientist who gave the first knowledge about the control of thought and mind and about universal laws governing time and space. Unfortunately, none of the commentaries available today on Yoga Sutras have explored them through the lens of science. I feel this talk will help overcome that lacuna. His writings are like an infinite ocean. The more you read them, the deeper is the knowledge. Consequently, I have made a small attempt in trying to understand their science through the publications of my two books, Nature of Human Thought and Exploring the Mind of God. Both these books are available from Amazon in Kindle and other editions, and this talk is an attempt to explore it further. I'll talk about a little bit about my teacher, the sage Patanjali. Obviously, I never met or knew Patanjali, but know him through his Yoga Sutras. Just like Eklavya in Mahabharata, who learned his archery by practicing in front of the statue of Dronacharya, I have learned about the science of yoga by imagining that the spirit of Patanjali is guiding me. A great teacher is one who allows his disciple to go through the rough and tumble of learning process, but his guiding hand is always available to show the correct path. So many times when I have been in doubt, I have repeatedly gone to Patanjali's Yoga Sutras and discovered the hidden gems. I came to know Patanjali at the age of 14 when I read his Yoga Sutras in a book written by I.K. Thamini, and the title of the book was Science of Yoga. This book I borrowed from a public library in Lucknow. Yoga Sutras is a very difficult book to read, and more so since most of the commentators have explained the great science of thought and mind control in an extremely confusing manner. This was because most of them had no knowledge of science, of mind control and other things, and hence their explanations were all clothed in mythology. A great teacher sometimes has a maximum impact when the student is very sharp. A disciple elicits information from the teacher depending upon his or her intelligence. A great teacher is like an ocean of knowledge, but you can only take the amount of knowledge depending upon the size of your container or the brain power. At the age 14, when I was first introduced to my teacher, I could hardly understand what he meant, but understood that by following his teachings, one can get superhuman powers like flying, omniscience, mind reading, and energy of thunderbolt for one's body, among others. Now, which 14-year-old does not want such powers? I then got sidetracked by my technology education in IIT Kanpur, where I went in 1967, but his teachings must have remained at the back of my mind. And they exerted an invisible pull, so when the time was ripe, I again went back to him for knowledge. Since then, every time I have doubts about some aspects of science of mind, I have gone to Patanjali's sutras and have discovered new gems. With time, my container has also expanded a little bit, and thus I can absorb more of his knowledge. Too often we only remember our teachers on Teacher's Day. I feel they should be remembered every day, because getting knowledge is a continuous process and the teacher should be available always whenever you want him or her. Patanjali's Yoga Sutras are like that. So who was Patanjali? We do not know who sage Patanjali was, or when he wrote the sutras, or even what we have today are really his sutras. But reading between the lines or extracting knowledge from them shows the great understanding and sparkling wisdom of his science. Though we will never know the truth of his existence, but his science-based teachings or the sutras, which were written more than 2000 to 3000 years ago, meant it must have come from a person not of this world, since it showed a fantastic amount of science which to our present knowledge did not exist at that time. I therefore feel that he may have been an astronaut from an advanced civilization who came to this world to impart great scientific knowledge. This speculation is explored further in my talk. Thus, whether it is a definition of time, or how thought can be controlled, or how a powerful mind can be used to discover the secrets of nature, all can be gleaned from his writings and by reading between the lines. Yoga Sutras are not an easy read. They are precise and crisp. India has had a long tradition of passing knowledge from guru to disciple through oral transmission. It can be conjectured that the initial exposition by Patanjali must have been very detailed, since the subject matter was difficult. With time, the subsequent commentators made them crisp, since it helped in memorizing the sutras. In this process, it is quite possible that some important information may have been lost. Another possibility is that when people did not understand the science behind the sutras, some important sutras may have been simply omitted. Thus, one needs to read between the lines with a deep knowledge of the modern science to fully appreciate their message. I'll try to explain this in my talk. So, what are the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali? The book called the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali is divided into four sections, with a total of 195 sutras. The sections are Samadhipad, which is section 1. It contains 51 sutras. Section 2 is Sadhanapad, which contains 55 sutras. The third section is called Vibhutipad, which contains 56 sutras. And the last section is Kevalyapad, which has 33 sutras. The first two sections, Samadhi and Sadhana, talk about how to make the mind and body powerful enough so that one can focus on a single thought for a long time. This focus on a single thought leads to Sayam. Patanjali defines it as a combination of focus, contemplation, and Samadhi. The state of Samadhi is reached when the object of focus vanishes and when one gets immersed in its essence. The third section is the main section of Yoga Sutras, where the science of yoga is fully developed. In this section, Patanjali talks of using Sanyam on various parts of the body and on different subjects to get supernatural powers and also to understand the laws of nature and the universe. I feel Vibhutipad is the real essence of his teachings on the conquest of nature via technology. This section has also inspired me to go on the journey of discovering the interplay of spirituality and technology. Since this section is the meat of sutras, I have a feeling that through time it has been tinkered by various commentators. Commentators who did not understand the science either changed some sutras or may have even omitted some of the deep ones. And quite a number of distinguished commentators like Swami Vivekananda simply glossed over them. in-depth reading of Vibhuti Path also reveals that some sutras are missing. Since there is an abrupt change in the subject matter from one sutra to another. And the last or the fourth section of the book, Kevalyapad, talks about how using these supernatural powers and understanding the universal laws, a yogi gains liberation from the cycle of birth and death. One of the most important tenets of Indian philosophical system is the liberation of soul, atma, etc. from the cycle of birth and death, and Patanjali shows very clearly how to achieve it. It is also very interesting to note that there is no reference to God in the sutras, but only of universal consciousness. In fact, Patanjali only talks about this universal consciousness in 7 out of 195 sutras. Patanjali defines this universal consciousness as an entity called Ishwar, which is beyond time. Interestingly, Patanjali identifies as Ishwar also by the original sound. Modern theories of Big Bang suggest that the first signal after the birth of universe was sound, which was like a deep hum. And so it is really remarkable that Patanjali talks about some entity which is beyond time, and that is defined by this very deep hum. And Indian commentators later on called this hum as Om. It is also very strange that the reading of these sutras somehow have been made mandatory for practitioners of Hatha Yoga or yoga exercises. However, I feel the study of Yoga Sutras has nothing to do with the practicing of physical yoga exercises or Hatha Yoga. Patanjali only talks about physical exercise and pranayama in about 5 to 6 sutras out of 195, and the rest of all it is about the mind control and the science of mind and getting supernatural powers. Thus, Yoga Sutras should be a recommended reading for students of psychology and all physical sciences. It is a remarkable document on how to live a good and emotionally satisfying life, and therefore should be a recommended reading in any humanities courses. I will now talk about the science of Yoga Sutras and show that how the deep science is embedded in some of these sutras. This is based upon my limited understanding of them and is speculative in nature. However, it shows that if we approach each sutra from a scientific point of view, then its gem becomes evident. In sections 3, 53 to 55 of Vibhutipad, Patanjali says that by making sanyam on a single moment and on the sequence of moments, a yogi gets vivek or exalted knowledge so that she or he can comprehend all the objects in the universe simultaneously, irrespective of the location and sequence of change, or in other words, the mind of God. And according to John Wheeler, one of the world's foremost experts on relativity, Einstein's theory of gravitation can be simply stated as events and the interval between events built space-time. The geometric nature of space-time then gives rise to gravity, tells the mass how to move, and is the basis of universe and the movement of all heavenly bodies. There's a tremendous uncanny resemblance between both within the sutras and Einstein's theory of gravitation. Again, in Vibhutipad, section 3.31, Patanjali says that by doing sayam on the hollow of throat, one conquers hunger and thirst. Recently, scientists have discovered that by stimulation of vagus nerve, hunger pangs can be suppressed. Vagus nerve, which is the communication highway of the body, is concentrated near the esophagus tube or close to the hollow of throat. Few years ago, US Food and Drug Administration or US FDA approved a device which can be can electrically stimulate the vagus nerve so that the brain gets a signal that the stomach is full. This was developed so that obesity could be checked. Similarly, in section 3.43, Patanjali says that by doing sanyam on the relationship of body and space, a body could be transported from one place to another and the results in the conquest of space. The abductees or the people who were abducted by the UFO have experienced this, and they have talked about it, how they got their bodies transported from their home to the spacecraft via tunneling and cellular transfer. And this mirrors this sutra very nicely. I'll talk about these abductees' experience later in my talk. In another sutra, section 3.21, Patanjali says that doing sanyam on body shape and its changes so that the reflected light does not reach the eyes of the beholder, one can make the body invisible. This process is used in stealth aircraft, where sharp angles and absorption of visible spectrum by aircraft body makes it invisible. And in Sutra 3.35 of Vibhutipad, Patanjali talks about how doing swayam on heart gives complete knowledge of consciousness. Recent scientific discoveries have shown a very close connection between the heart and the mind. Similarly, Patanjali talks about how a yogi can read the other person's mind by doing sanyam on his thought structure and also control it. This is given in section 3.19. This is now being slowly perfected through the various processes of artificial intelligence and hypnosis. And another sutra in Kaivalya Path, section 4.1, Patanjali talks about how all the supernatural powers can come to a yogi by taking drugs. Recent studies on the effect of recreational and mind-altering drugs like LSD, etc., have shown enhanced spiritual experiences for drug takers and for some, the experience of entity visitations. To my mind, this discussion on mind-altering drugs in Yoga Sutras is the first such anywhere in any ancient spiritual text. Also in Kaivalya Path, sections 4, 2, 3 and 9, Patanjali talks about a rebirth happening by chance and not because of past karma. This is a major departure from the accepted notion in the Hindu philosophy that your birth is dictated by past karma, and shows the deep understanding by Patanjali that most of these things are by chance and may follow the probability theory. Even some sutras in Samadhi and Sadhana Path, sections 1 and 2 respectively, where Patanjali details the mechanism of thought control and sanyam, if they are examined through the lens of modern day neuroscience and brain research, then the gems of his teachings become even brighter. Thus his sutras on memory formation and removal, Patanjali calls memory as sanskars, and the nature of human thought tallies very closely with what we know today about the production and nature of human thought, and about which I have written quite a lot for the last 20 years. Similarly, there are other sutras whose knowledge seems to be vindicated by the modern science. I think a whole book can be written about their relevance to modern science and technology. So there is a need to study Vibhutipad more thoroughly, since many secrets in it still need to be rediscovered. The comparison of Patanjali's sutras with modern science is neither to belittle the latter nor to glorify our ancient tradition. Both are important in their own way, but to show that all great knowledge originates from the same knowledge space, irrespective of the person and the time of its discovery. Also, these comparisons establishes the value and authenticity of the scientific aspects of sutras and gives credence to the fact that other sutras may hold secrets which could be revealed if studied thoroughly. This revelation may show the path to new understanding of natural laws and novel inventions, and is the main reason why we are trying to read between the lines in these ancient texts. However, there are major omissions in Yoga Sutras, and one of the glaring omissions is that there is no mention about Kundalini Yoga. Kundalini Yoga is an important part of the yoga system, where yogis believe that through the extremely small central canal called Sushma Nadi of spinal cord, sexual chemicals from its base can be raised to reach the brain, where they enhance the communication of neural pathways so that all the parts of brain work in unison and one can attain samadhi. This is similar to what takes place in the brain during the LSD episode, though the user taking the drug has no control over his or her experience. Yogis also believe that sexual energy is coiled at the base of the spine, and hence the name Kundalini or coiled energy, snake, etc. They believe that it can be raised in the central canal or the Sushma Nadi by will. And I have written an article on this, which can be looked by following the URL, and the description is given in the text. It seems little strange that sage Patanjali, who was the first to enunciate the yoga principles of thought control and mind enhancement, would not have included the important science of Kundalini Yoga in it. One can only speculate that probably that section could have been extracted by some commentators from his sutras and made into a separate science of Tantric Yoga. After all, the whole Vibhuti path is nothing else but Tantra, or technique of getting supernatural powers, and the description of Kundalini Yoga would have been very appropriate in it. So based upon all these evidence, I feel that sage Patanjali was an extraterrestrial astronaut. All the supernatural powers described in Vibhuti Path have uncanny resemblance with those exhibited by aliens, and hence one can speculate that probably Patanjali was also an alien. In the seminal book on extraterrestrial abductions of humans by UFO inhabitants, John Mack, a former professor of Harvard University, had shown that all the persons abducted and taken inside the spaceships, they are called as abductees, talked about extraterrestrials floating in the air, could interact telepathically with them, could read their minds, modify them, become invisible, and exhibited almost all the powers written in Vibhuti Path of Patanjali Yoga Sutras. Similarly, reporting was also done by Carol and Jim Lorenzen in their book called Encounters with UFO Occupants. This similarity between powers written in Yoga Sutras and exhibited by extraterrestrials is so uncanny that I sometimes think that sage Patanjali could have been an extraterrestrial being who came to Earth almost 2,500 to 3,000 years ago to give us this knowledge. Thus, if we understand how a yogi can get these supernatural powers, then it may show us a way to understand the mind-matter interaction and probably pave the way for developing galactic travel technologies. Unidentified flying objects are real. There have been innumerable sightings and visitations by extraterrestrials throughout the history of mankind. And recently, US government has officially released video clippings of few of these sightings. Similarly, a recent series of Netflix documentaries has further shown the possibilities of these visitations and mankind's quest for understanding the technologies of UFO propulsion. Propulsion technology used by UFOs effortlessly overcomes the Earth's gravitational pull, and understanding it may help us produce unlimited renewable energies on this planet Earth for our needs and benefits. Hence, it is very necessary that we invest money and resources in discovering and understanding them. In early 1960s, I was exposed to the book Flying Saucers Have Landed, written by the American author George Adamski. This book, bought by my father, was about the fascinating account of UFOs and Adamski's contact with the extraterrestrials. Reading this book opened for me a whole vista of space travel and the possibility of life outside our world, and created a lifelong interest in UFOs and extraterrestrials. Though later on George Adamski was proved to be a fraud and a hoax, but his book was a great read and fired my imagination about these issues. Since then, I have tried to read as much as possible about UFOs, both in print media and on the internet. And as an engineer, have always been curious about the possibilities of their propulsion mechanism. At one time, because of the deep interest, I had vivid dreams about space journey in one of the UFOs and also visitations of strange life forms in some of them. It seemed through the dreams I was connected to the world of UFOs. Later on, when I started writing on spirituality, the images of gods and deities got transformed from mythical figures to astronauts. I have written about these issues in my latest book, Exploring the Mind of God. Others like Erich von Däniken, a German UFO enthusiast, have written about gods as nothing else but aliens visiting us from different planets in their dazzling machines. In Indian scriptures like Ramayana and Mahabharata, there are quite a few descriptions of various gods visiting Earth in their flying machines. I firmly believe that the future of mankind is to become a galactic traveling civilization, and mastering of the technology to do so can only come when we develop the wisdom through spirituality to use it wisely. Galactic and intergalactic travel is an evolutionary process, and as we expand our horizons technologically, we have an inherent desire to conquer space and experience this journey. It is probably in our DNA and points to our probable extraterrestrial origins. This is also the claim in the recent Netflix documentary series on UFOs. Getting information on UFO technology can either be done by direct contact with UFO astronauts, usually through abductees, or by a great scientist or an inventor who is connected to the extraterrestrial knowledge space. This is how all great discoveries and inventions of this world have been made. Thus, our knowledge of great spiritual and scientific laws by people like Patanjali, Buddha, Christ, Ramakrishna, Einstein, Newton, Nikola Tesla, etc., was probably produced as a part of seeding of the earth by memories from outer space who were born in the form of human beings. Thus, what I have talked about in this podcast is the tip of iceberg as regards the wisdom and genius of sage Patanjali. What is needed further is to trace the history and origins of his sutras so that a comprehensive system of it is established, and to study in depth his available sutras through the lens of modern science and technology. Thank you very much for listening to my podcast. And I hope that you will be able to read this article and follow the URLs.